Hey, beautiful people, welcome to the Total Disclosure Podcast. Today is the first episode I record in 6 months after being unfairly deplatformed by Patreon. We're finally back on this new platform, Subscribestar. And first of all, I want to thank all of you who have subscribed so far. It's deeply appreciated. Whatever happened with Patreon won't repeat itself here with Subscribestar. I have already spoken with them via email. They don't have an issue with my content. They know what it's all about. I will be more careful in how I say things. You know, just try to be smart about it. Anyway, I wanted to also let you know that censorship is hitting me this week again. My Louder Than Love public page has been officially shadow banned. I have 8,000 followers there, and only 300 people are being notified of my posts, which is ridiculous. It's not even 5% of my following who is now being showed my posts. They also intervene with my inbox. I'm not able to access it. There's a lot of contacts that I have there, email addresses, testimonies. So I don't know if that's going to be fixed. I already sent them 2 messages. I'm very upset. This needs to stop now. I don't understand why that executive order against censorship was signed over a month ago and nothing happens. Anyway, without further ado, let's start with the deplorables that went to Epstein's Island. To start the list, we have a couple, celebrity chef Adam Perry Lang and his wife Fleur Perry Lang. The cook, known for being the master chef of the LA hotspot and the Napa Valley Steakhouse, worked as a private chef for Jeffrey Epstein for many years. He was present in many flights, and he actually used to live at Mark Epstein's apartment complex, where some of the victims trafficked by Jeffrey Epstein and his procurer, Jean-Luc Brunel, the French model agent. The problem with this couple is that they saw everything. Even if Fleur Perry Lang divorced Adam, she still lived with him at that apartment. They are both witnesses of everything that happened. To be fair, Virginia Roberts has been quoted saying that Adam never partook in any abuse of the young girls. He still is a witness. And so is his wife. And as such, they have pretty valuable information. As far as I know, they have not cooperated with the authorities, and so they are complicit. Let's be honest about it. A fact worth noting is that the chef, Adam Perry Lang, is really close with Jimmy Kimmel. He was actually arrested inside Jimmy Kimmel's house because of a swatting prank call, which consists of people calling for fake welfare checks to pull a prank on you. It's usually done when people are playing online video games. I guess they do it as a revenge, or I don't know. It's really dangerous because obviously sometimes when they call the police, they say that the people are either dangerous or unstable, mental illness, armed, on drugs, whatever. So, you know, that's a small fact there for you to know that this chef is really close to some of these people, including Jimmy Kimmel, who is also on this list, but we'll talk about him later. As far as Fleur Perry Lang, the wife, not much to say about her. She has a gallery in New York City. She's an artist, so she was probably also involved in creating the artwork found inside the properties of Jeffrey Epstein. But besides that, I don't know what her involvement is. If Adam wasn't even seen abusing the girls, much less chances his wife was doing it herself. Next on the list, we have Akon, the Senegalese-American singer, songwriter, and producer, hailing from New Jersey. As a bonus fact, Aiken molested a 14-year-old girl at one of his concerts in Trinidad and Tobago. The R&B singer responded to being caught on film dancing in a very aggressively sexual manner with a 14-year-old girl live on stage in Trinidad on April 12, 2007. Aiken said, "I want to sincerely apologize for the embarrassment and any pain I've caused the young woman who joined me on stage, her family, and the Trinidad community for the events at my concert. It was never my intention to embarrass or take advantage of my fans in any way, especially those under the age of 18. This is why we tried to make sure that the club did not admit anyone under 18 in the audience. Somehow, that standard was not met." So, there you go. The guy's blaming the establishment. Nobody will know what happened inside that property. Obviously, and a lot of venues are corrupt. They let minors in, especially in some countries. But also, some minors use fake IDs. Regardless of that, his behavior on stage was very inappropriate. Even if the woman was 18 years old, if you see the video, it's disgusting. As a consequence of the behavior of the direct consequence of the singer's behavior, the U.S. phone company Verizon Wireless pulled a $3 million sponsorship deal for Gwen Stefani's The Sweetscape Tour, for which Aiken was supposed to be the support act. So there you go. Aiken costed a lot of money to Gwen Stefani. Next on the list, we have one of the worst scumbags involved in this case. Lawyer Alan Dershowitz is a member of the legal defense team for Jeffrey Epstein, and he was investigated himself due to statements by Virginia Roberts stating that she was forced to have sex with the lawyer. The lawyer was introduced to Jeffrey Epstein via Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, his own words. He admitted that himself. As for his own involvement in the case, there's a lot to say about Dershowitz. His story has changed over the course of the years. At first, he wasn't involved at all. Then when Virginia came out with the events that transpired at the Manhattan Mansion, Dershowitz alleged that there was some information in some emails that exposed big people and that exposed the persons that were guilty of framing him into this legal mess. But later on, he said that he was actually inside the mansion when Virginia was inside the mansion. At first, he denied receiving a massage, but then he admitted receiving that massage by a 50-year-old Russian woman named Olga. Later on, he will change his version yet again, admitting that Virginia did massage him and stating that he is innocent because he doesn't even like massages and that he kept his underwear on when receiving the massage from Virginia Roberts, who was then an underage girl. Alan Dershowitz lived in New York from September 2000 to June 2001, when Virginia Roberts was often with Epstein at his mansion. His schedule contains notations about meetings with Jeffrey. As if his crimes in defending pedophiles and being a pedophile himself are not enough, you might recognize Alan Dershowitz as the scumbag lawyer who made an appearance on YouTube very recently, stating that you don't have a right to decide not to wear a mask, or you don't have a right to decide not to get a vaccine. This guy is a clear enemy of the American people, and I'd say of the people of the world. This guy is against freedom. This guy is for pedophiles and for tyrants. So, as far as the people on this list, I'd say Alan Dershowitz is one of the most dangerous ones. He's sneaky, and he knows what he's doing, being involved in the American judicial system and all. Next on the list, we have a photographer and interior designer who was based in Paris. Alberto Pinto was born in 1943 and died back in 2012. So nothing can be done about this guy. He was in charge of designing interiors of apartments, corporations, hotels, yachts, and jets. He had a home collection of his own and collaborated with many manufacturers such as Raynaud and Pierre Frey. So he was probably in charge of designing some of the properties of Jeffrey Epstein, probably involved in the design of Little St. James and El Zorro Ranch. Next on the list, we have the actor, infamous now because all he does is mock President Trump on Saturday Night Live, the actor Alec Baldwin, who is also on the flight logs and has made a habit of deflecting for all these crimes. I believe he has a very dark appearance on The Ellen Show, kind of mocking and sexualizing children who go to Disney. There's a video in which some kids allegedly touched the private parts of some of the people dressed as Disney characters, and they make a mockery on it on that show, and he's the one hosting it. I have no idea why he was hosting it that day, but I remember it very well. Also, he has several incidents, including a recording that became public of him abusing his 11-year-old daughter, calling her a rude, thoughtless little pig. He has a history with law enforcement, summons for misdemeanor assault and harassment. He has a quick temper and also assaulted a photographer for videotaping his then wife, Basinger, and his 3-day-old daughter. He's not a stranger to controversy based on pedophilia. He alleged that he didn't know he was 47 versus the 16-year-old Nikki Reed for the 2006 sex scene on the film Minnie's First Time. But producer Dana Brunetti said that Alec Baldwin knew that the actress was underage and he had no problem with it. Let's not forget the lame attempts of Alec Baldwin to deflect from the Epstein case, saying that Jeffrey Epstein was killed by Russia, when everybody knows that Epstein was probably killed by the Clintons or Mossad or the CIA, or he's alive, just like Hitler when they offer him safe haven in Argentina and later on Brazil. This is no joke. This guy is probably still alive. Some people hope he's in witness protection. I don't know. I mean, it would be golden if he was pulling the chanks, and that's why Ghislaine Maxwell is now under custody. That would be great. But every day that passes and I don't see any action, I become more and more negative. Next on the list, I have a woman named Alyssa Rogers. Nobody has been able to identify this woman, but many think that it's the actress Alyssa Milano under an alias. The actress, producer, and political activist is also known as a goodwill ambassador for UNICEF, which is a corrupt organization as well dealing with children. She's known for her roles as Samantha Michelli in Who's the Boss, Jennifer Mancini in Melrose Place, and Phoebe Halliwell in Charmed, where he portrays a witch. And it seems that the character became the person, and she's now a witch in real life as well. Next on the list, we have Andrea Mitrovic, also known as Andrea Stowell. She has worked for the Clinton Foundation, the World Bank, and as a consultant for the RTI Sanitation Technology Platform. She has also been involved with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. She appears in the 1999 cast of the American Ballet Theater. Andrea Stowell, as she is now known due to her marriage, still follows Sarah Kellen's Twitter account. Sarah Kellen, the so-called lieutenant for Ghislaine Maxwell and another procurer for Jeffrey Epstein. She also has current relationships visible on social media with other visitors of the island. Her husband, Porter Stowell, also worked for the Clinton Foundation for a time. He's currently the platform head for the blockchain technology department of IBM. that's involving Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and I guess cyberspace dominated by artificial intelligence, which is very present in the blockchain. She flew on Epstein's jets lots of times, including the infamous trip in which Bill Clinton, Kevin Spacey, Chris Tucker, Naomi Campbell, and Jean-Luc Brunel took a flight to Africa. Number 9 on the list, we have former Colombian President Andrés Pastrana. The 30th president of Colombia from 1998 to 2002 is a legacy politician. His father, Misael Pastrana Borrero, was a president from 1970 to 1974. Colombia's former president admits having flown on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express. Pastrana alleges that he accepted a ride and he did go to Nassau, Bahamas, just to be transferred to his final destination, Havana, Cuba, invited by his friend, President Fidel Castro. Jeffrey Epstein left Cuba a day or two later. I remained on the island, the former president exclaimed. Unfortunately, there is no record of arrival or departure flights to Cuba, which could be explained by the limitations that the embargo laws contemplate for the landing of planes with registration American on the island. To prove that he was going to the Havana and not to the private island of Epstein, we can only believe Pastrana's word for it because Fidel is already gone, and Epstein, well, Epstein is talking to nobody, dead or alive. Pastrana also said, quote, "I met Mr. Jeffrey Epstein in Ireland when I was honored at the Achievement Summit in Dublin, a highly publicized ceremony attended by personalities such as Mikhail Gorbachev, Bill Clinton, Bono, the singer for U2, and the actor Jeremy Irons." In addition to what was expressed above, that we have to believe Pastrana's word for it, there's also a time lag between the public event in Dublin, when he had 2 months left to deliver the presidency. The event was carried on June 8, 2002, and the private flight with the pedophile, being a former president, on March 20, 2003. I mean, if Pastrana's version is supposed to be believed, we're supposed to take in consideration that Epstein fell in love with Pastrana the one time they met and decided to offer the good guy a ride on his airplane and inconvenience himself, or was there some incentive by doing so? Jeffrey Epstein is not known for doing favors out of the goodwill of his heart. Jeffrey Epstein is known for blackmailing his best friends, people like Prince Andrew or Bill Clinton, who were super close to him. The plane's log with US registration N-900JE shows that it took off from the Teterboro, New Jersey airport on March 20, 2003, with Pastrana in the company of Epstein and other passengers bound for Palm Beach, and that the next day the same plane with the same passengers flies to the Bahamas. Then, because there are no records on Cuba, we cannot confirm they actually went to the island. One thing is for certain, they did go to an island, either Jeffrey Epstein's or Fidel Castro's, which really doesn't make much of a difference. Cuba is famous as a sex tourist destination. Underage girls and boys are known to be abused by foreigners that choose the destination precisely because it's a place where it is allowed for this to happen in plain sight. Number 10 on the list, we have a very nefarious character, the singer and songwriter for the band Red Hot Chili Peppers, Anthony Kiedis. As a founding member, the guy has been famous probably for close to 40 years. I believe the Peppers came out mid-80s or around 1987, 88. I've never been too much of a fan, obviously. I like some songs, and some of their songs, unfortunately, form part of my soundtrack in high school or my younger days. So I actually have some memories that trigger when I listen to some song of, for example, the Californication album, which was released in 1999, if I'm not mistaken. I was just starting high school back then. The band has been notorious for their raunchy behavior, addiction problems, and violence. But unfortunately for Kiddies, his reputation precedes him. He has charges of sexual battery and indecent exposure. This after a concert in Washington, D.C. on April 21, 1989. He was accused of touching a woman's face with his penis after a concert at George Mason University in Fairfax County. The woman, a student at GMU who served on the university's program board, said the incident occurred outside the band's dressing room after the concert. Circuit court jurors recommended that Kiddies be fined $1,000 on each charge, and he could have received up to 60 days in jail. At first, he managed to avoid jail, but then the circuit court trial accepted an appeal ruling by a lower court judge who found Kiddies guilty of both charges and sentenced him to 60 days in jail. Kiddies denied ever touching the woman, but others said they saw the incident, and a band member admitted he made an encouraging statement towards the action. So, like a pack of wolves, the Peppers have been known to act in numbers, because that's not the only time I've seen them act that way together. In looking for information pertaining to this man, I found a video of an old recording on live television in which the Peppers actually smooch a woman in public and try to kiss her breast. And it was Anthony Kiedis trying to do this. It was him as well. Another woman came forward later on, emboldened by some of the accounts becoming public. Former music executive Julie Farman, quote, "Every time I'm reminded that the Red Hot Chili Peppers exist, I lose my mind. 25 years ago, when I worked at Epic, I had a fucked up experience with the Chili Peppers." The incident was about a 3 on the 1 to 10 scale of sexual harassment in the music business of the 80s and 90s, and I never consciously thought that it was that big of a deal. Quote, "In September 1991, at the time, Farman was an associate director of media and artist relations for the Epic Records West Coast division. Farman wrote that she had no interest in signing the Chili Peppers, but she met with the band as a favor to an A&R friend. Quote, "At first, I refused to even go to a meeting with the band. The A&R guy was a friend, though, and after an hour of talking about it, I reluctantly agreed to attend. At the meeting, I did a credible impression of a person who didn't think the Chili Peppers were assholes or that their music was completely fucking horrible. I talked enthusiastically about strategy, artist development, and press campaigns, and I presented ideas on further establishing their image. None of them involved wearing socks on their dicks. Afterwards, I took two of the Chili Peppers to the storage room where we kept the box sets and CDs just to show them around. As we looked in the cabinet, they pressed up against me and told me about all of the ways we could make a super sexy sandwich. At first, I thought they were joking. When I realized they weren't, I ran from the storage room to my office, where I closed my door, sat down at my desk, and cried. I was humiliated and weirdly ashamed. There was far worse going in the music industry at the time, and I thought I was a badass. Being a victim didn't fit with my self-perception." Quote. By the way, I just remembered that the incident that I was able to watch on YouTube, it was on ITV late night show, James Whale. It was probably around 1990, and their behavior was, as usual, disgusting. This is not to make any excuses for Anthony Kiedis and his disgusting behavior, because still to this day, he's very infamous for dating very young women, including, borderline, barely legal teenagers that admire him as an artist and go to his concerts. And obviously, he takes advantage of that. Anthony Kiedis' dad was a drug dealer for the stars in Hollywood. And Anthony not only witnessed a lot of raunchy, addictive behavior, but also sexual behavior that I consider was inappropriate for his age. For example, according to his autobiography, his father let him have sex with his stripper girlfriend when Anthony was 12 and the woman was 18. This was the first time that Anthony had intercourse in his life. Obviously, not a healthy situation. And just because he's a boy doesn't make it any less of a deal. By the time he was 14 or 15, his dad was a drug dealer and close friend for Cher and Sonny Bono. Actually, Cher offered to babysit Anthony Kiedis once when he was 14 or 15, and they actually had sex. On his autobiography, this is not disclosed, but during an interview with an Italian magazine, Anthony admits that was the case. Cher was 27 at the time. So there you go. Cher is also a pedophile. And she used to be the birth girlfriend of David Geffen, who is one of the worst pedophiles in Hollywood. Next on the list, we have Audrey Rainbolt, CEO of interior and luxury event designing company GMI Productions. Audrey is a great friend of Prince Albert of Monaco and a golfing partner of Prince Andrew. No further details could be acquired of this woman, but I'm guessing she was involved in maybe designing the interior of the properties of Jeffrey Epstein. Then again, I could be wrong. She could be involved in more nefarious stuff. Who knows? On the list, there's also a place for the 44th president of the United States from 2009 to 2017, Barack Hussein Obama, also known as Barry Satoru. And the main protagonist of the biggest scandal in political history in the United States. The main conspirator in what is known as Obamagate, a shadow presidency and a shadow government going after Donald Trump and his closest allies like General Michael Flynn and Carter Page, among others. Does anybody remember when Barack Obama flew $65,000 worth of hot dogs and pizzas from Chicago to the White House at night for a party? I don't know how many people were in there, but I doubt that 30,000 people were fit in the White House. Not even 15,000, not 10,000, not even 5,000. So how come you can spend so much in food for how many people? Sounds fishy, right? Especially when you take into consideration the pedophile codes exposed by the FBI and that were made notorious via Pizzagate. For example, cheese pizza is supposed to mean child porn. Cheese pizza is also supposed to mean young girl. Hot dogs are supposed to be young boys. So I don't know. I'll leave it to your judgment. Also worth noting is that Barack Obama awarded 123 medals of freedom. This is the president that has awarded the most medals in history, followed by President Ronald Reagan with 102. Colin Powell, Meryl Streep, Steven Spielberg, Robert Redford, Robert De Niro, Tom Hanks, Bob Dylan, Loretta Lynn, Stevie Wonder, Emilio Estefan, Gloria Estefan, Barbara Streisand, Diana Ross, Bruce Springsteen, Warren Buffett, Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, Bill and Melinda Gates, Angela Merkel, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Joe Biden, Nelson Rockefeller, Stephen Hawking, and Michael Jordan are among the names of the recipients for the Medal of Freedom that Barack Obama awarded during his terms. You'll find a lot of pedophiles in that list, including, of course, Bill Gates, who still to this day denies his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. But as he is on the list, we will discuss later. Also on the list, we have actor Ben Affleck. The so-called actor, philanthropist, social activist, and filmmaker was one of the people that actually mocked the accusations against Harvey Weinstein. But ironically, Ben Affleck was on Harvey Weinstein's red flag list, which consisted on a list of names of actors that had their own scandals to make for distraction for Harvey Weinstein. Very interesting. But he has his own problems with sexual harassment. Makeup artist Anna Marie Tendler, wife of comedian John Mulaney, tweeted that she also was groped by Affleck at a Golden Globes party in 2014. Quote, "I would also love to get an apology from Ben Affleck. who grabbed my ass at a Golden Globes party in 2014, she wrote. He walked by me, cupped my butt, and pressed his finger into my crack. Quote, writer Jen Statsky said that she was also at the party and had multiple friends who had this same exact experience with the actor. Former Tear All host and One Tree Hill actress Hillary Burton responded to a tweet that referenced Ben Affleck groping Burton on camera during an episode of Total Request Live in 2003. Affleck admitted to the fact by tweeting an apology to Burton, quote, I acted inappropriately toward Mrs. Burton and I sincerely apologize. Followed on the list, we have Bjornsson Knowles, the American singer, songwriter, and record producer, dancer, and actress. Bjornsson, known also as the wife of Jay-Z, is drenched in symbolism during her performances. How can you forget her performance at the Super Bowl with all that Luciferian imaginary? She now occupies the position of the new Queen Mother of Darkness. Yes. One of our Illuminati insiders have shared the fact that she replaced Gloria Vanderbilt as the Queen Mother of Darkness for that quadrant of the United States. The Illuminati Council consists of five Queen Mothers of Darkness among the Illuminati cult. The top three leading hierarchy, the Mother, the Maiden, and the Crone, Marina Abramović, Somerset Belanoff, and Queen Elizabeth are the top three, followed by Beyoncé and Hillary Clinton. And why not take a shortcut and talk about Anderson Cooper, now that we're talking about Gloria Vanderbilt, his mother. Anderson Cooper is a journalist, a pseudo-journalist, I would say, working for CNN. He is guilty of many fake stories, fake news, a disgusting smearing campaign against a lot of Republican politicians, including Donald Trump, and also guilty of trying to start a racial war between African Americans and Caucasians. He's rumored to be a CIA plant, and it wouldn't shock me. Some people believe that he was raised among MKUltra and satanic rituals. In fact, some of the art found at the Podesta mansion is reminiscent of Vanderbilt's house pool, in which some of the rituals took place. Anderson Cooper's older brother was supposedly victim of suicide. He jumped from a two-story window to his death. Some say he killed himself because he was victim of satanic ritual abuse. Others say it was a sacrifice. And other theories even say that he's actually Kathy Griffin, the comedian, turned a woman. Because as you probably know, Luciferians also sacrifice children by sexualizing them from a very young age and changing their sex. It's a very, very sad situation. Next on the list, we have Bill Hammond, one of the pilots for the Lolita Express, who seems to have businesses and properties in Ohio. So he could be linked to Les Wexner as well, who was the unofficial handler of Jeffrey Epstein, the owner of L Brands, Victoria's Secret, and so on. Also on the list, we have Bill Murray, the actor. Yes, the comedian, filmmaker, and writer also went to Epstein's Island, unfortunately, because he's one of my favorites, or used to be, not anymore. He has a history of downplaying sexual assault by people he likes. He downplayed the accusations against Harvey Weinstein. He also discredited the accusations against his friend Dustin Hoffman, who also went to Epstein's Island. This is not good. Not good. Especially when the wife of the actor files for divorce, alleges that the actor physically abused her, had affairs, was addicted to alcohol, marijuana, and sex. She was so afraid of the actor and his rage that she requested a restraining order, barring Bill Murray from her Sullivan's Island home in South Carolina. Next to these characters, we have Ben Affleck's brother, Casey Affleck, who is a scumbag. The actor and director was accused by a woman named Amanda White, who agreed to serve as a producer on an untitled documentary headed by Affleck and Fellini Productions in 2008. The documentary ultimately became I'm Still Here, a famous piece by the director. She had a decade-long history of working with Affleck, but that wasn't a deterrent for him. Over the course of filming, White alleged in the complaint that she was repeatedly harassed. On one occasion, she claimed that Affleck ordered a crew member to take off his pants and show White his penis, even after she vehemently objected. She claimed that Affleck repeatedly referred to women as cows and recounted his sexual exploits with reckless abandon. In her complaint, White recalled Affleck asking her, "Isn't it about time you get pregnant?" Once he learned her age, and suggesting that she and a male crew member reproduce. White's accusations go on, ranging from incredibly unprofessional behavior to actual physical intimidation. She described an instance where she was prevented from returning to her bedroom during shooting because Affleck and Joaquin Phoenix had locked themselves in her room with two women where they had sex with them. Affleck was married with two children to Joaquin Phoenix's sister, Summer, at the time, though the couple recently split. White also alleges that Affleck attempted to manipulate her into sharing a hotel room with him. When she resisted, White claimed he grabbed her threateningly and attempted to scare her into submission. Affleck then allegedly proceeded to send White abusive text messages calling her profane names for refusing to stay with him. White filed a $2 million lawsuit against Affleck in Los Angeles Superior Court on July 23, 2010. As part of her producer duties, White was also asked to renegotiate an agreement with Magdalena Gorka, the film's director of photography. Gorka had previously left the project due to an alleged similar pattern of harassment. In her complaint, Gorka described her treatment at the hands of Casey Affleck as the most traumatizing of her career. Almost immediately after beginning work on the project, the gross comments allegedly began. Gorka claimed Affleck and other members of the production team openly talked about engaging in sexual activities with her and jokingly suggested that she have sex with a camera assistant, a good friend of Affleck's. Number 19 on the list, we have Karen Casey, an Irish folk singer and a former member of the Irish band Solace. She's the performer for Child's Play, a non-profit organization dedicated to the performance of traditional and contemporary fiddle tunes, songs, and dance. Don't know the extension of her involvement, but obviously it's not good news that she's here. Number 20 on the list, Casey Wasserman. He is the chairman of LA 2028 and CEO of Wasserman, a leading sports and entertainment agency. He also serves as president and CEO of the Wasserman Foundation. He is notorious for supporting and encouraging sports people into following social justice agendas. Quote, "The decision to openly engage in social issues should not be a business decision. It should be a personal decision. Athletes should use their platforms to voice their opinions. Engagement and belief and concern of the athletes should not be limited to social media." Wasserman concluded with the words of encouragement for athletes to engage in social issues fully and pursue authenticity. Next on the list, we have Charlie Chin, alias Carlos Irwin Estevez, known professionally as Charlie Chin, the main man for one of the top sitcoms in history, Two and a Half Men. He was named as an alleged sexual abuser of former child star Corey Haim by Corey Feldman. As most of you know, Corey Feldman is nothing but a scammer and a gatekeeper. He supports the Clintons. He supports a number of people that are involved in sexual abuse. He discredits Pizzagate and any other satanic ritual abuse case, claiming that they're stealing the spotlight of the real abuse, which is his abuse. So, obviously, a lot of ego in there, a lot of narcissism. He promised to release new names, big names, and the biggest name he released was Charlie Chin, a man that is now basically finished after being diagnosed with AIDS. Supposedly, he recovered thanks to the wonders of money, because if you have money, you don't die. But still, there are a lot of ugly things around Charlie Chin, including his supposed involvement with Mark Salin and forwarding his child porn collection to the Glee actor. A reason why the actor died is because he was supposedly arriving to a plea deal with the police department. Charlie Chin is also denounced by his former wife, Denise Richards, as a sick pedophile because she alleges that she found out the actor was addicted to porn sites that actually display children in states of undress. A lot has been said about Chin and his relationships. It's not hard to get to the conclusion that Chin is indeed a douchebag and a piece of crap. He was involved, allegedly, in the abuse of Ava Zambora, the daughter of Heather Locklear and Richie Zambora, when she had a relationship with Heather. Supposedly, the abuse happened with the patience and encouragement of Heather Locklear. That's apparently the reason why Ava later on stayed with her father, Richie Zambora, the guitar player for the band Bon Jovi. Never mind the fact that Charlie Chin has been having unprotected sex with actresses and prostitutes while having AIDS. Also the fact that he had a secret smoking crack den in his office while living with Denise Richards and the kids. Just like Batman, I don't know if he pressed a button or moved a book, but a secret smoking crack den opened, and there he went, Charlie Chin, to smoke crack in peace so his kids and wife didn't find out he was doing that precisely. What a sad history for a guy that has had quite a decent career, with starting with Platoon in the 1980s. Number 22, we have Chelsea Handler, the American comedian, actress, writer, and television host who had a program on E! Entertainment called Chelsea Lately. She was the girlfriend of human trafficker Andre Balazs, owner of the Standard Hotel. She knows exactly what goes on in those places. She also dated TV and broadcasting executive Ted Harbert for several years. He was the chairman of NBC Broadcasting and the president and CEO of the Comcast Entertainment Group and chairman of ABC Entertainment, which is linked to Disney. Number 23 on the list, we have Chris Tucker, the American actor and stand-up comedian, is best known for acting in Rush Hour and Friday. The family of the teen boy who accused Michael Jackson of molesting him in 2005 first went after Chris Tucker without much success. Chris Tucker is also seems to be linked to Venezuela and the compa that Ghislaine Maxwell had in that country. Next on the list, we have Chrissy Teigen, of course, the now infamous pedophile and cannibal, self-admitted cannibal. She has admitted she would be happy eating human flesh on recording. And, you know, the wife of John Legend, another pedophile, they're very involved in the cult. They were very involved in Haiti with the Clintons. She had to delete, I believe it was over 7,000 tweets that made allusions to pedophilia. She has no qualms about joking about it. And she actually begged Jack Dorsey, the CEO of Twitter, to please protect her, because she was worried about her family and her safety because of all those cruel QAnons who were talking about her pedophilia. Well, they are in line. If you joke about pedophilia, people have the right to comment on it. If you're a public person, perhaps you should watch out what kind of bullcrap you publish on your social media. Now, no QAnon or conspiracy theorist, as the media calls us as an insult, has ever committed any crime lately. The shooting at the Comet Ping Pong Pizzeria was a false flag operation in order to discredit us, in order to say that these theories provoke violence and that we are a risk for national security. I'm not saying I'm a member of QAnon, because I don't want to label myself as part of any cult or any group. I'm free. I'm a free individual. I'm a libertarian. I believe in abolishing secret societies. I don't believe in big government, and I believe in individual liberties overall. Equality for all except pedophiles. The only cure for a pedophile in my book is a bullet. So there you go. I'm not going to say I'm a Republican. I've never identified myself as a Republican. You know, there's a funny situation because since I manage these groups and I become kind of a public person myself or a known researcher, I receive attacks from all flanks. People from Q attack me. People who identify as Democrats attack me as well. Centrists attack me as well. They question that I don't go hard after Trump because, you know, I've seen the things that Trump has done against human trafficking, and he deserves a little more patience. Yes, I despise everything he's doing with the vaccines. I don't like that he's wearing a mask now. I don't like that he's not going after Anthony Fauci or Dr. Birx or Bill Gates. Those things I don't like, and I'm watching him closely. People think that just because I support Trump, I'm not looking at what he's doing, good and bad. No, I'm looking at everything. So please know, when I say that, when I include myself in a group like the QAnons or the Truth Movement, I'm not exactly labeling myself as a, you know, as a loyal member of any group, because that falls into the category of secret society or cult. And this is not what it's all about. This is all about the children. With Chrissy Teigen, who is a despicable woman, I think he's a man. I think she's a man, but whatever. She's the number 23 on our list. Next to her, we have Cindy Lopez, which is listed on Epstein's Black Book, which reveals that Cindy was a model working for an agency owned by Jean-Luc Brunel, who procured underage girls for Epstein. On July 13, 2002, Bill Clinton flew on the Lolita Express with Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell, Sarah Kellen, a woman named as AP, and Cindy Lopez. Also on the flight, there was Duke Band, Mike, and 8 Secret Service members from Morocco to Santa Maria to New York City. So I think this Cindy Lopez is just one of the victims, maybe one of the recurrent escorts that Epstein was using. I don't know if she was underage back then. I'm guessing she was, or maybe barely legal. But, you know, she's in there. So she's a witness, and all of these witnesses should come forward. If they don't want to be piled on as pedophiles, please cooperate. Please talk, and please help the investigation against Ghislaine Maxwell. And that way, you can clear your name. I mean, it's a good start. Number 26 on our list, and one of the most prominent visitors of Jeffrey Epstein's island. Of course, I'm talking about former President of the United States, unfortunately, because it was a presidency tainted with blood, mafia, drug trafficking, and of course, pedophilia. I'm talking about the 42nd president of the United States from 1993 to 2001, Bill Clinton, who went to Epstein's Island over 27 times, who has been denounced by multiple women of rape and even children. People have died trying to expose this man, many people, so many that it is impossible to talk about Bill Clinton in 5 minutes for our purposes. Bill and his wife Hillary deserve a saga of their own, not even one episode. They deserve maybe 4-5 episodes just talking about their body count. But let me be clear, Bill Clinton's time on the Total Disclosure podcast is coming. It's such an extensive research that needs to be done on the Clintons that I have delayed it. I have tried to stay away from it, not because, you know, I'm somehow intimidated by, you know, from talking about them, but because I know it needs my full focus. So it will come in the future. I don't have much to say about Clinton right now. You all know him. You all know that he's one of the worst characters that went to that island, and he's exposed as one of Epstein's bitches, because he appears on that painting using that blue dress and the red shoes. And what do we know about red shoes, guys? Satanic rituals involving children. So, there you go. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'm thinking about making this one public because I want people to know what the podcast is about, how it's going to be from now on. You know, taking consideration, this is a brand new episode. So I hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe for parts 2, 3, and perhaps 4, because there are over 125 names on this list, and we're going to talk about all of them. Take care. Bye.